As a former player, how do you feel about that? Are you disappointed that it's not you?
No, I just didn't know what he was saying. I couldn't hear him.
Gotcha. I think he was just saying that he doesn't listen to the show and he doesn't endorse it.
Oh, is that a new one? Did I miss the new one?
No, we haven't done that one yet. But that's
We got to get into it with you on Muschamp and donuts and everything that we learned last week. There's no vacations in the Muschamp family. And
He's former Gamecock Mason Zandy in studio with us for hour three. Here we go. Oh, we got some head bobbing. We got some coffee ingestion going on.
Yes, sir.
That's good to know that we're hip with the kids. And by the color of that coffee, I think you and Bill have a lot in common, sir. How would you describe the color of your coffee right now?
Typically, I'm a black coffee kind of guy.
Mm-hmm,
but this morning, wanted a little flavor. That's
mm-hmm.
all.
Is that vanilla in there?
I think it's hazelnut.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. You sound like you just got out of bed.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't.
It is early.
I'm getting over a cold.
Oh,
right
okay.
Now. Yeah,
okay. I'm going to slide further.
Sorry, my radio voice is
no problem.
How dare you? You didn't warm up. You could have been singing in the break there.
I should have been.
Bill Gunter. He's Mason Zandy, offensive lineman, Gamecocks, draft eligible. Today is draft day number one. How are you feeling at this point, sir?
My name's more than likely not going to get called.
Right.
But it's
is ours, by the way.
it's still fantastic to be here. It's fantastic to even be in this position, to be considered amongst these elites. And I'm just really excited to figure out where I'm going and who I'm playing for.
Now, what kind of interaction have you been having? We had you in here maybe a month ago or so after your pro day. You went through all of that stuff. You felt like you had a good showing there, put your best foot forward. You've been training a bunch, I know, but in between pro day and today, what has been happening for you as you're going through this process, talking to teams and all that stuff?
So after my pro day, I had another opportunity to work out with the Panthers up in Charlotte, and then
so is this workout number two? You said another opportunity, is that, or just the only individual workout you've had with them?
It's technically a local pro day.
Gotcha.
But essentially a workout as well, because the offensive line coaches are there.
Mm-hmm. How many guys are we talking about in this workout?
There's a total, including myself, 5 offensive linemen.
Gotcha.
But there's probably 5 or 6 guys at every position. And after that, calls trickled in from coaches, from scouts, different organization personnel. And then last Friday to today, Thursday, it's been a madhouse. Like you get 3-4 calls a day, different teams, and certain teams, their offensive line coach calls. Mm-hmm. And from what I'm told, not all calls are created equal. Although they are all important and all very, very blessed to get. when an offensive line coach calls you, it's a little bit more emphasis behind the team, I guess.
Gotcha. Have you heard from any big names that you want to name drop this morning?
I'm not going to name you.
All right. I was reading the article in the state newspaper that kind of centered around you talking about Gamecocks and draft potential here, and it mentioned 3 teams in particular that you gotten good vibes from: the Oakland Raiders, Tennessee Titans, and Minnesota Vikings. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, that sounds about right, but I'd throw in the Colts now.
Okay.
They've shown a lot of interest, but it's funny you say, I said they've given me a bunch of interest, and I've talked to their offensive line coaches, and I've talked to their scouts, and from what I've talked to guys in the past, Carolina alum, my agent and his personal clients, a lot of times he says like 6 out of 10 times it's the team that you didn't talk to at all that drafts you.
Yeah, I've heard that from a bunch of guys.
Like,
never forget Ronaldo Balkman saying that he was watching the NBA draft. He heard his name. He was like eating food and he dropped his plate. He was as surprised as anybody.
When somebody calls you and what you can share, what are these conversations like? Are they asking you about what you know about their playbook, about your personal details of life? Like, how are these phone calls go?
So the majority of them, really the emphasis is confirming contact information for draft day. So they want to make sure that if they call this number, you're going to pick this up.
But wait a second, they're talking to you on the phone. So
yeah. It's a double check,
Okay.
But
this is Mason Zandy. Yeah, this is him. Okay.
No, that's exactly what they did. Is this Mason Zandy? Like, yes, sir. And like, oh, hey, this. And then they introduce themselves. And then they get into some personal questions, any run-ins with the law, no. Any when'd you graduate? Just general questions to, you know, basically check boxes.
Right.
And then they'll ask you, have you looked at our, you know, have you looked at the scheme that we run? Do you know anything about the city that we're in? Things like that. And then it's just, see, you know, they hope to talk to you on draft day. And
So it's pretty generic when you say that. Have you looked at our city? Have you looked at
Well, some will tell you, you know, like, hey, like, look, we're looking to draft you. Like, we want, you know, we want you here. But if it doesn't work out for some reason, if you're in free agency, we're definitely going to try to pick you up in free agency or, you know, however it is.
Mm-hmm. So I think a common misconception is that it's better to be drafted bar none than not. How do you see this thing going in? Because I know there is the philosophy that if it's getting towards the late round, sometimes it's to someone's advantage not to get drafted, because you basically then can hear from a bunch of teams and kind of pick where you're going to go and where you think fits you best, as opposed to them picking you. But if it's towards the end of the late rounds, they don't necessarily have a huge investment in you. How do you see this?
Right. So, I mean, yeah, you're right, though, because in a sense, if you are a free agent, you get X amount of calls, say 10 teams call you, and then you can pick from that list of, okay, does this team, what is their tackle depth looking like? What is their guard depth looking like? And on the other hand, what is their signing bonus looking like? Mm-hmm. And you can weigh your options. Sometimes a team will pay you, let's say X team gives you a $12,000 signing bonus, as opposed to another team gives you a $10,000 signing bonus, but you have more opportunity to play at a lesser team or a lesser paid team. It's all about making the 53-man roster.
Sure.
But in the same hand, though, if you get drafted in the seventh round, your signing bonus is significantly higher. So it's just a matter of kind of like where you fit and what your interests are. Are you interested in the longevity of your career? And, you know, most players would say yes, but some players they really need that extra 45 grand right now.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think, and Mason Zandi joining us again in studio this morning, who have you leaned on the most throughout? Is there a former player? I know Travell Wharton coached you for a little bit, and obviously we know about his career in the NFL, but is there, maybe it's your dad, your mom, or is there a player that you've become friends with at South Carolina in the NFL that you've leaned on just for advice?
You know, it's the old saying, it takes a village to raise one. And
you're really tall. And most of the village is really small, as we have pictures now to prove.
But it's been an accumulation of a bunch of people, man. I have a fantastic support staff. Everyone from my family, and I have a beautiful girlfriend that really helps me and takes care of a lot of things. And
boy, you're a smart guy.
Yeah.
All right, let me rephrase the question. You're giving everybody credit.
I do have a few players I reached out to. Past, you know, Carolina alum TJ Johnson.
Okay.
KJ Brent. Mm-hmm. He went on and played at Wake Forest, but Ronald Patrick, he's up in Washington right now.
Okay,
just guys that I looked up to when I first got here, because TJ Johnson was a fifth year senior when I was a true freshman, mm-hmm. and he's a stone cold leader, man. He taught me a lot about maturing and growing up, and Ronald Patrick's always been a good friend of mine. He's always, you know, had a handout. He always, you know, was able to pick me up when I was down. He's a good guy. And KJ, I really contacted KJ. You know, him and I weren't best buds on the team, but, you know, we're friends. I mean, we play on the same team, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And him and I kind of went through a similar situation, that we were all 8-round undrafted free agent grade. And I just wanted to see his perception versus, you know, TJ. He went, I think, 5th round, 6th round. Or like an AJ Can went 3rd, 4th round. Mm-hmm. So it's just, I try to get different perspectives from different players, so that no matter where I fall on the draft board, I have an idea of where I'm at, what I'm doing, what my name means in that organization as that pick and stuff like that.
Former Gamecock sitting in with us in the EF Martin Heating and Air Studios. There are three people in the picture. One of us will move on with an NFL team in some capacity here soon. It is not maybe me and Bill, as you might be able
it's
to tell.
It's only because I didn't put my name in the draft today.
Oh, right.
Came back one more year of eligibility.
Because that's how that goes. Okay, who are you expecting to hear called tonight, these names that you have actually gone up against head-to-head?
Oh, yeah, so I've gone against Derek Barnett, defensive end from Tennessee. And then I can't remember the fellow's name from Missouri. There's another defensive end that I think he's in the top 25 draft picks. Both very talented individuals.
Mm. So Miles Garrett is a guy that didn't come to Columbia this year because he was hurt for Texas A&M, that you probably would have gone up against head-to-head there. And I mentioned him off the air here, and not quite sure if you remember playing against him in your career, but right. have a little bit of experience of the kind of personality and kind of player athleticism that he has, right?
Right, yeah. He's a generational player. He's extremely talented. To be that big and that fast and that strong is definitely a combination that I can see NFL scouts really admire. But you know, like I said, I wish nothing but the best for those guys.
Did you go against Garrett last year at Texas A&M? Did you ever have to line up next to him?
You know, we were just talking about that. I don't remember if I did or not.
Okay.
More than likely, at some point, I did.
Well, that blows up my next question. Then I was going to say, because you were a redshirt freshman, Clowney senior year.
That's right.
Yeah. And I was going to say, as a scout team member, I didn't know if you ever had to, or if they made him practice, but I didn't know if you ever had to go. And how you, and granted, you're physically different as a freshman than you were as a redshirt junior or senior.
Yeah, a lot different.
But I didn't know how you would be able to compare. But if you don't remember necessarily going against him,
no, I mean, you can look at sheer numbers. Clowney's just still head and shoulders. More athletic, stronger, mm-hmm. faster. Clowney's just a freak.
What was that like going against him in practice? You went against him, I'm assuming you were right. Scout team, and you know you're going against a top three pick, probably number one pick. You're redshirting. You're hanging out that year. But what was that like?
Well, I mean, so I didn't play offensive line until I got here.
Okay.
So
that was
like,
good for you.
Yeah. So
tight
end like,
in high school over at Chapin.
Right. So, or I played tackle my senior year, but really, you know, didn't learn the position until I got into college. And as a freshman, you're like, yeah, that guy's the best player in the country. So that's good. I tried. That's
tried.
That's going to be my, that's going to be my, my state. I tried. But, you know, honestly, though, like from a player's perspective, I really benefited from it, man. I may have got tossed around a little bit. I may have, you know, not really looked sloppy and looked out of place, but at the end of the day, like, you've gone against the best.
Right.
So every defense end I've gone against since then is measured to him, and no one is even close.
And your results against Derek Barnett this year, for instance, a guy that you can certainly be compared to, he's going to be a first-round guy tonight from Tennessee, you feel like you measured up pretty well.
Yeah, I did. He has a unique ability of being able to bend the edge, keep his feet moving, things like that. Which led him to get a shoestring sack on Jake, but he was really good. Now he's really good. He's going to collapse the pocket. He's going to get back there to 7-8 yards where the quarterback's standing. But the only thing like you can do at that point is just shove him by that one. I mean, a lot of people think, oh, you give up pressure. Oh, it's a pressure, but it's that one last push that gets him 6 inches away from Jake. Just that little bit. Made a huge difference, but he got me one time.
By the way, you might be very interested to know that when Mason came in studio this morning, he gave me a firm handshake.
He did.
We have a poll question up today on how would you greet NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell if you were drafted tonight? We have four options for you. What do you think you would do, sir?
What are my options?
Okay, you got the firm. We got the handshake.
Right.
We got basically not doing anything at all as the other end of that spectrum. We have the dap, the old Spurrier fist dap. And then what's your one other option, sir? I believe it is something to the effect of a Fresh Prince of Bel-Air handshake.
Oh, wow. That's bold. I'd probably go firm handshake.
Uh-huh.
But
the bear hug is the other.
Okay, I'd go bear hug.
Okay.
Because if you're drafting the first round, your entire life just changed, you know. From a financial standpoint,
mm-hmm.
So might as well go thank the guy that co-signs your check, right?
That's okay. A smart move.
All right. I like the idea of giving him the milkshake. Tell him to go stand in the corner.
Or give him your cell phone and tell him to take a picture.
I like that idea too. Yeah.
Not a wise move.
No. Just show some love.
What were you giggling at over there?
Joshua tweets, and I don't know if Mason's going to like this one, Jen has put out a tweet with our pictures in it, and Joshua tweets in, Will looks like Mason's son in this picture. So, you have a girlfriend. Your poor girlfriend. I think.
Actually, he said, you know what he should have done? Patted him on your head.
I don't feel like Mason just got complimented.
Now, do you think the head pat ever goes through any kind of lineman when they're greeting Roger Goodell to give him the little head pat? No,
you know, that's disrespectful. I don't think she'd ever do that.
That's a good move. A lot of feedback rolling in the Shepherd's Glass inbox at Tim Hill 107.5 at Will Gunter with one L. He's at Mason Zandy, simply. Kevin hitting us up says, after seeing our picture here in studio, so jerseys are out, but indoor ball caps are cool.
Precisely.
I've never even heard the term indoor ball cap. It's just,
we're just trendsetters.
It's just a hat.
It's the hat that you wear inside, guys. Come on. Pretty simple.
I mean, when you get to work, it's 6
a.m. I got my indoor ball cap and my outdoor ball cap.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. It's in the car.
Fair enough. I mean, to me, it's not even a debate, but you disagree, sir. You think football jerseys are okay for fans, Mason?
Yes.
That's what I'm hearing.
I do.
Not only okay, you encourage it?
I do.
Okay.
I specifically encouraging buying my jersey once I make it to the NFL.
Okay. That makes sense.
We'll test this. Stick your arm out. Reach over toward me. All right. He can't get. All right.
He's
are
out
you
of
crazy? Jerseys on a guy? What's wrong with you?
Well, all right, so
I can move around this table. If he starts chasing me, y'all can periscope it, but I can move around the table quicker.
Those little legs can move.
What's that cone drill y'all do where you got to chase the guy around the table?
Like a rabbit and
I feel like I can win that one.
Maybe not.
it's not fun.
No, there's got to be exceptions to that rule.
If your family
okay,
wants to wear,
so,
if it's you,
yeah, if my
if
dad
it's
wants
you
to wear my
your
jersey,
family, yeah, yes. Your family wants to wear that, I can get on board with.
Agreed. Okay, so what's the disposition with a grown man, essentially, is what we're talking about.
Uh-huh. Going to like a South Carolina
sporting
game,
event, yeah, and wearing a jersey.
22 years old or above to about 60 or so.
Okay.
Anywhere in there.
So if you're 61 at school?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
You're in retirement.
Yeah, you're going back the other way now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you're good to go.
I'm just getting the foundation here so I understand.
The other foundation is if you're 6'7", about 3'10", you're allowed to do whatever you want to do. Yeah, 6'9", I'm sorry. 6'9", 6'10", yeah. After, well, I mean, anything over 6'7", you're
okay,
allowed
gotcha,
to.
Gotcha.
You're allowed to, yeah, whatever.
Jimmy D hitting us up this morning says, is Mason a bear claw kind of guy? I just had to explain to Mason, he's a healthy athlete, what exactly a bear claw was. So the donuts, you stay donut free, is that what you're saying, sir?
You know, I like a good donut, don't mm-hmm. get me wrong, but I don't seek them out, man. Mm-hmm. I don't drive to a Krispy Kreme or a Dunkin' Donuts.
But you do live near one over
I do
Casey,
live
right?
really close to one, but mm-hmm. I just if I have a sweet tooth, it's more than likely ice cream.
Mm. Yeah. So it sounds like you do have a sweet tooth.
I do. It's a small one, though. Oh, okay. It's a small one. It's not. It's, you know, if it comes down to me being hungry, I'd rather eat a meal.
See, this is the perfect combination of our program, donut information, and now Timothy Merriman gets us back on track via the Shepherd's Glass inbox. Says, what team did Mason follow growing up or still follow? Also, if he could choose a head coach to help sculpt him for the NFL,
wow,
who would
question.
You choose?
That's a fantastic question.
So while you stall for time, well done,
yes,
by the
no.
way. Who did you
well,
follow
growing up?
Growing
up? I was a 49ers fan.
Okay.
I grew up. You know, cheering them on.
Can you explain?
Yeah.
Because you're a Chapin guy. You're a
right.
You grew up a Gamecock fan.
That's right.
How does that translate to 49ers fans?
So, my dad immigrated to the States in the 70s. And when he did, he
from
immigrated
Iran, right?
from Iran. And then when he did, he immigrated to San Francisco.
Okay.
So,
he became a 49ers fan?
He became a Niners fan, which then, in return, I became a Niners fan.
But he got to see the golden era, and you, I'm guessing, did
well,
not
I saw a pretty good era from, what was it, like 2012 to 2014. It was a good 2 years I got.
But not in 49ers.
True.
You missed
no.
the Montana
no, yeah,
Rice
yeah, Montana.
Days and Steve Young.
Yeah, that's not fair.
That is but, fair.
Is Mike Davis still out there? Did you talk to Mike? Is Mike
yeah,
still
Mike's
with
still out there.
So you got Bruce yeah. and Mike.
That's yeah, Bruce is still out there. Mike's still out there.
Yeah, Buster Anderson Buster was Anderson not,
got,
a, not anymore.
Got traded, I think. I think. But yeah,
Dylan was there, and
Dylan
went to the Chargers.
There.
I saw him last week, actually.
Yeah, I saw him yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah. So a strong, certainly, there was a strong connection there with the Gamecocks and the 49ers for a while, kind of a pipeline, if you will. They had, what, four guys at one time on the team.
Well, yeah, Coach Spurrier played there for 10 years.
Right. So certainly very familiar with the organization. Okay, so we got 49ers, the team that you followed because your dad spent some time there in San Francisco and he's a 49ers fan.
That's right.
If you could choose a head coach now to help sculpt you for the NFL, who would you choose? I'm guessing growing up a Niners guy, you might be a bit of a Harbaugh fan, but clearly he's not an NFL head
right.
coach anymore.
You know,
because the easy answer in my era would be, oh, Bill Walsh would be a great guy to help lead you. He's
right.
one of the most successful guys, a legend in the NFL. That's you don't have that easy option there, sir.
I'd probably go with Mike Tomlin.
Okay,
you know, I really like his style. I like you know, I don't know too much about him. I'm not under the organization. So from what I, from basically what everybody else sees, I like his fire. I like him a lot. You know, he seems like a really good coach.
Interesting that you mentioned those words with Mike Tomlin. What popped in my head is he might be kind of like Will Muschamp-ish. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, that's a pretty fair, you know, that's pretty fair.
Really?
So, well, just from a fiery kind of guy, a more of a player's coach mentality. Okay. Like, I guess from the outside that Will Muschamp doesn't have that reputation. He has the reputation of just getting on referees or getting in players' faces as well. But I think talking to players, I feel like they feel a pretty good connection with Will Muschamp as opposed to, well, Steve Spurrier had a connection as well. It's just a different one, kind of a different generation. Right. I think you would agree with that. We were talking off air about the roles now that Will Muschamp plays with you in this process. Can you let us in on that a little bit, how he has affected you in this, in these last few weeks / months?
So this goes to any college player looking, or college football player looking to play in the NFL. Your college coaches and your high school coaches can be your biggest ambassador, or they can ruin you. So, you know, it's about creating a good relationship with those people and understanding that they can ultimately determine your future. But outside of football, Coach Muschamp and I have gotten a great relationship, and, you know, he's done everything he can do to put me in the position that I'm in. You know, all the, you know, as the saying goes, all the hay's in the barn. You know, it just comes down to who picks me now. And I really do appreciate Coach Muschamp and his staff. They've helped me so much. And I know it's tough to come into a situation with a senior that's, you know, had a coach for, you know, all 5 years while I was here, but had to kind of, you had to change the tempo of how things were done, the schematics of everything, and even through all that change, he still remained pretty loyal and really helpful to me.
He's Mason Zandi joining us in studio. I guess my question for you right now personally, as you think about the next 4 or 5 days, how much anxiety is there? Because you've got to, am I right? You will know your destination at least by next Tuesday if you don't get drafted, I would guess. Then you got to go somewhere, right? Like this is kind of it for you. You kind of look around and you're, the next chapter in Mason Zandi's life begins next week. You've got to, I don't know when OTA start or if you go out and you start training. How does that work for you starting next week?
So if I fall into free agency, I don't know where I'm going Saturday after the draft.
Okay,
it's that quick. And then one half of the NFL starts their rookie mini camps the following Thursday. And then the other half is the Thursday after that. But it's an amazing experience, man. It really is. It's essentially the lottery for football.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can take away the money, take away all that stuff, and you're just getting, hey, like, you throw your name into a hat, you put in, you know, 3 to 5 years of work at your respected university, and you throw your name into the ring, and then you never know. And you could be in Seattle, you could be in New York, you know, coast to coast, and it's so exciting. I kind of have an adventurous spirit, so I'm very excited to see where I go.
But is it hit you yet? Or me saying that, like, on Saturday night, you're going to be an NFL football player for somebody.
Right.
Is that, like, in your life, that's chapter 3 or 4? I don't, you had your high school, your college, like, that starts Saturday night. Is that really set in with you and your family?
You know, it's definitely set in with my mom. And the women in my family, they're starting to get nostalgic and very, like, oh, you know, you might be across the country and mom stuff. And I love my mother, and she's a fantastic woman. And for me personally, it's I have goals past just making it to the NFL.
Right.
In the NFL. So it's the next step. You know, I've prepped for 5 years for the NFL. So it's not like a jumping off a cliff kind of thing. It's just taking the next step.
Right.
And in
that process, I don't mean to interrupt you, but when did the NFL become Mason Zandi's goal?
Man, I've wanted to play in the NFL since I was 6 years old, 5 years old. When I can conceive the thought of football, I wanted to play in the NFL. Because I grew up more of an NFL guy than I was a college guy.
Mm-hmm.
I liked watching the NFL, and a lot of people are like, oh, you're crazy. You know, college atmosphere is so much better. I agree 100%. You know, I agree because I'm, you know, finally did it. But just the crispness, the professionalism that goes into it, the business side of it, I just find that to be wildly attractive about the NFL.
You mentioned the college experience, and we get a question on the Shepherd's Glass inbox from @tailgatingchallenge. What are Mason's views on tailgating? Favorite food to grill and gas or charcoal to fuel the fire? I'm guessing you don't have a lot of experience with this in the last few years because players don't tailgate. But maybe before that, growing up a Gamecock guy, your views on tailgating, sir, and what do you think? Gas, charcoal, or favorite food? What do you have to offer us there?
Okay, so if favorite food, probably going to have to go with either chicken wings or ribs.
Okay, can't miss wow. On that.
Yeah.
Bill, do you endorse that? Would you have a choice, chicken wings or ribs?
I mean, ribs, I feel like there's a little bit more work that goes into them, and so that's a little bit more fun to grill. Chicken wings, you kind of seasoning, little sauce, maybe just throw them on there, and you're just trying to make sure they're done.
Okay, so I'm trying to go from novice to expert and then back to football, and we'll go back to the expert to you. And now your views on tailgating, I assume you're pro tailgating?
Yeah, pro tailgating. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. It's mandatory.
And gas or charcoal to fuel the fire?
Depends on what time the game is.
Okay.
Oh.
So
Okay. This is going to be interesting.
In college, if it's a noon game, I would go with propane. Mm-hmm. It's quicker. You get there. You might get enrolled in there a little bit later because it's early in the morning.
Mm, true.
In the evening game, you go with charcoal because you got time to get there, set everything up, you know, light the fire, get it rolling.
Okay.
You know, so it's all about timing.
It's like his agent prepped him for that question.
At the Zandy household, is there charcoal and propane?
There is.
Okay, that's what I was
As a matter of fact, it's a dual grill.
Oh, really?
One half charcoal, one half propane.
Okay, and what is your area of expertise there? What's your go-to if you're going on the grill, if you're in charge?
I'm probably going to throw down some grilled chicken. Or steak. I can make a great steak. And I can make a great steak without a grill.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You just go with a pan there?
You get yourself a really good cast iron pan.
Mm-hmm.
Get it firing up. Throw some butter in there.
Listen to this guy with the... All right, so what is... So
what's the cut?
Yeah.
You got to get a cut of steak. What do you know?
Look at me sitting up in his chair now.
You got me excited.
He finally got interested.
Culinary
you started talking to a 300-pounder about food. Yes, I got excited.
Finally. So
you fire up that cast iron pan, and you get a filet cut, and you sear both sides, 2 minutes, 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Pop it in the oven, whatever your desired
temperature
is, then take it out. And then you throw it back in the pan a little bit, get the little butter on there.
Okay.
Good to go. Season it first, salt, pepper.
Interesting. Dustin hitting us up on the Shepherd's Glass inbox says, what other offers did Mason have coming out of Chapin High School? Talking about college offers. And from my experience, I would answer this if you weren't here. I would say that I think it was South Carolina pretty much all the way for Mason Zandy.
It was. It was at the time, though, to answer his question, it was the team in the upstate was the offer. But I grew up a Carolina fan. And everybody in the country knew, everybody in my family knew, as soon as South Carolina offered me, I was gonna go to South Carolina.
Mm, Taylor says, you make great grilled chicken and steak, by the way, weighing in via the Shepherd's Glass inbox.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my girlfriend.
She may or may not be wearing a number 74 jersey.
She definitely would be.
Now, we did classify avatar. Women are always fine to wear jerseys. There's no problem with that.
Women and kids.
Kids,
are free.
Kids and, yeah.
Okay.
It's all no right, problem. Well,
she's good, huh?
She's fine, yeah.
She's not gonna...
So it just sounds like, is she going to be more upset that you're gone next week or that your cooking is gone?
Mm, good question.
That is a very good question.
Like, is she going to be like, oh, good, he's gone. I can hang out. Or is she going to be like, oh, man, he's gone. I don't get great food.
A bit of both.
Okay, you mentioned the school in the upstate. Those guys, a couple of names expected to be picked tonight, and Mike Williams at receiver, Deshaun Watson at quarterback. What are your thoughts on that being the hated rival? Right. Because we talked to you media day before this season, mentioned there's one game on the schedule, and you mentioned that you grew up in Chapin, you grew up a Gamecocks guy, so that the Clemson game was the one kind of circled on your schedule, and that I did admit that it was a little bit differently. How do you see guys getting drafted tonight? Because as the fraternity of players, right, these guys are just realizing their dreams. I know you mentioned that, and you have to feel good as a fellow player, but does that change at all when it's a team from the upstate and they wear the orange?
You know, not at all. It doesn't. It's a, you know, Deshaun Watson and Mike Williams, those guys are phenomenal players, very talented and deserving individuals. They really are. I wish nothing but the best for them. I hope them all the success in the world. But the rivalry stays the same. But once you leave, once you move on and you're in the NFL, you know, he could be my teammate. You don't want to hate the guy that you're trying to win with. So, but no, I honestly really do wish all the best of luck to those guys.
So, Bill asked me a good question, I think, earlier. Which one would you take if you have a pick somewhere or where they're both available? You got Mike Williams or Deshaun Watson?
I'd probably take Deshaun over Mike. I mean, not to say that Mike's not talented, right, but he's a quarterback.
Well, I think the bigger question, you look at, like, we were talking about this earlier, if Mason Zandi was the GM, you're in charge of the draft, and you've got, say, the 10th or 11th pick, do you take the best available player, or do you take the player that necessarily helps your – that you have more of a need for? That is it best available, in your opinion, if you're a GM, or the player that you have the biggest need – the position you have the biggest need for?
I think Mason should answer only offensive linemen. That's who you should draft, and that's it.
Yes to that, but it's the best available player
you
at
go
the
best
position
available.
You need.
Of course.
Wait.
So, like,
goodness, you've got a great job coming up in politics.
A science degree. Come on.
You take the best guy at the position you need.
So you're going position of need.
Yeah. Right. So you don't just take the guy that has the most hype or that's necessarily rated higher. But if he doesn't, for instance, let's say Deshaun Watson falls to that 10-11, the 10 or 11th pick, mm-hmm. and you're the Green Bay Packers. You have Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
You really going to bring in another first-round quarterback and pay him the same amount? It's a logistics.
The New Orleans Saints at 11 right now, so they have Drew Brees. So what you're saying is that wouldn't make much sense for them to take
Deshaun
Watson.
It won't make sense because I'm not a GM, but from my perspective,
if you were the New Orleans Saints GM, right,
that's what you would do. Well, you would take a Mike Williams.
Right.
You give Drew Brees some weapons.
Right. But I'll give you the example, you just mentioned it. There's an article on ESPN.com. This is why I brought it up. About how when the Packers had Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, who was expected to be a top six, top seven pick, maybe even number one, fell all the way to 24. Now, they had Brett Favre at 35 years of age, still in his prime. They took Aaron Rodgers, even though they knew he was not going to help the team for 3 or 4 years because he was the best available player in the draft, and now you look at what it did for them. And that's why I asked that, and that's a perfect example. You mentioned the Packers with Aaron Rodgers, but I forget. I think now Aaron's 32 or 33. He's got plenty of time. Drew Brees is, I think, 38. A little bit different
Yeah, obviously there are exceptions to that. But to give you a blanket answer, like a general answer, that's probably what I would have gone with. But I
understand what you're saying. You're saying I want the player at the position that we need help the most.
But if
and
you
I get where
like
you're
like
going
a,
with that.
If you do have a 38-year-old quarterback or like a Tom Brady or something like that, and you don't have a significant backup, then at that point, maybe, you take that guy in, you fine comb him for a year, season or two. Once your starter retires, you throw him in there and see what happens. That's always ideal, though. It doesn't work out that way.
I got a question just tweeted in that I want to get to real quick, and it is an interesting question. With Sean Elliott being your position coach, but now having moved to Georgia State to be the head coach, have you stayed in touch with him through this particular process? Because I would imagine NFL teams have reached out to him. Mm-hmm. Is that have you had much conversation with him over? I know he's busy trying to get that program up and running, but how much conversation have y'all been able to have just to kind of?
You know, it's we've talked a good bit. You know, Coach Elliott's always. I mean, that man's had my back through a million fights. You know, and he gave me a chance to play college ball when most schools weren't even. I wasn't even on their radar. I was more of a D1AA guy. You know, I talk to him as much as I can. Obviously, he's the head coach, so like he has a lot of responsibilities. He's talking to a lot of people. He's got to make sure he's got his ducks in a row. But, Coach Elliott, we talk as much as we can.
But does he let you know, like, so-and-so called me today just to check on you, or is that the conversation y'all have? Or?
No, it's more or less just like, Coach, how's the players doing? What's spring ball looking like? Stuff like that. Gotcha.
Rolling in the Shepherd's Glass inbox at Tim Hill 107.5, at Will Gunter with 1L. He's at Mason Zandi, simply. Kevin hitting us up says, after seeing our picture here in studio, so jerseys are out, but indoor ball caps are cool?
Precisely.
I've never even heard the term indoor ball cap. It's just...
We're just trendsetters.
It's just a hat.
It's the hat that you wear inside, guys. Come on. Pretty simple.
I mean, when you get to work, it's 6
I got
6
my indoor ball cap and my outdoor ball cap.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. It's in the car.
Fair enough. I mean, to me, it's not even a debate, but you disagree, sir. You think football jerseys are okay for fans, Mason?
Yes.
That's what I'm hearing.
I do.
Not only okay, you encourage it?
I do.
Okay.
I specifically encouraging buying my jersey once I make it to the NFL.
Okay. That makes sense.
We'll test this. Stick your arm out. Reach over toward me. All right. He can't get. All right.
He's
are
out
you
of-
crazy? Jerseys on a guy? What's wrong with you?
Well, all right. So
I can move around this table. If he starts chasing me, y'all can periscope it. But I can move around the table quicker.
Those little legs can move.
What's that cone drill y'all do where you got to chase the guy around the table?
Like a rabbit. And
I feel like I can win that one.
Maybe not.
it's not fun.
No, there's got to be exceptions to that rule.
if your family wants
okay,
to wear
so,
it. If it's
yeah,
you,
if my dad
if it's
wants
you
to wear my
your
jersey.
Family, yeah, yeah, your family wants to wear that, I can get on board with.
Agreed. Okay. So what's the disposition with a grown man, essentially, is what we're talking about.
Uh-huh. Going to like a South Carolina
sporting
game,
event yeah. and wearing a jersey.
22 years old or above to about 60 or so.
Okay.
Anywhere in there.
So if you're 61 at school?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
You're in
retirement. Yeah, you're going back the other way now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you're good to go.
I'm just getting the foundation here so I understand.
The
everything.
Other foundation is if you're 6'7", about 3'10", you're allowed to do whatever you want to do. 6'9", I'm sorry. 6'9", 6'10", yeah. After, well, I meant anything over 6'7", you're
okay,
allowed
gotcha,
to.
Gotcha.
You're allowed to, yeah, whatever.
Jimmy D hitting us up this morning says, is Mason a bear claw kind of guy? I just had to explain to Mason, he's a healthy athlete, what exactly a bear claw was. So the donuts, you stay donut free, is that what you're saying, sir?
You know, I like a good donut, don't mm-hmm. get me wrong, but I don't seek them out, man. Mm-hmm. I don't drive to a Krispy Kreme or a Dunkin' Donuts.
But you do live near one over
I
there
do
in Casey,
live
right?
really close to one, but mm-hmm. I just if I'm Smart. if I have a sweet tooth, it's more than likely ice cream.
Mm. Yeah. So it sounds like you do have a sweet tooth.
I do. It's a small one, though. Oh, okay. It's a small one. It's not, it's, you know, if it comes down to me being hungry, I'd rather eat a meal.
See, this is red where you're going to have family, friends gathering on Saturday looking to celebrate.
Yeah, that's right.
That's okay, right. Good luck, certainly, as the NFL draft kicks off. And I know you are crossing the fingers at this point, and the waiting process is not easy.
It's not, but, you know, the end result is ultimately what's worth it, and just waiting and trying not to think about it too much.
I hear you. 404-6100, the number in the program. Richard, up with us in the final minutes of the show with a draft question. Go ahead, Richard.
Hey, good morning, guys. You know, I'm a Cleveland Brown fan, so I'm pretty happy today. Not happy that we've got the first pick and the fact that we suck so bad. But one of the things that I'm kind of nervous about, and I had planned on trolling Deshaun Watson all day because I do not want Cleveland to pick him. And he blocked me on Twitter. The guy who has never blocked anybody blocked me on Twitter yesterday just because I said he had twig legs. But anyway, my worst nightmare is that Cleveland drafts Deshaun Watson at 1 and then somehow draft Mike Williams at 12 or trade up, trade back, do anything. I don't know what could make this draft worse than to have two taters get drafted by my football team on draft day. And that's my draft analysis for today. One more thing. Joe Mixon gets drafted in the first two rounds, probably by Seattle. Remember that Richard said it.
Okay, Richard said it. How about that? So clearly Gamecock fans like Richard think a little differently than Gamecock players really. Like you, Mason, going into the draft. But Richard does not have to be a teammate, possibly, of Deshaun Watson or Mike Williams in the future, but he might face the situation of pulling for Clemson Tigers in the NFL. I think he'll get over it.
What I think he will, too.
So what do you mentioned you're going to try not to think about. What's your next 72 hours like as you try to not think about it?
Right, so today and tomorrow, I'm still going to hit the grind, you know, work out, do positional stuff, stay in shape. But Saturday, man, I'm going to go fishing.
Okay, Lake Murray?
Yeah.
Smart move. So if you see a large human being on Lake Murray on Saturday, odds are it might be Mason Zandi.
Halfway submerged.
If you're on your phone, you might want to give him the news that he's been drafted.
Yeah, well, I'll have my phone.
Okay. Oh, that'd be, boy, don't drop it in the lake. That wouldn't work.
That would be terrible.
Yeah. That would be
You're
bad.
Throwing everything that could possibly go wrong at me right now.
It's like he's a negative.
No,
guy,
I so may not go fishing.
Mason Zandi, we appreciate you hopping in this morning.
Absolutely. Thank you.
I appreciate it. And I'm sure Lou Bijak, who has done nothing but tweet all day, will take this and be able to write a good story. I look forward to that.
Because you're doing his work like usual?
Yeah.
Yep. I've helped him again. I've done Lou's work. He can take the rest of the day off.
Not your fault, Mason. He's like this all the time. By the way, if you missed any of Mason Zandi, you can catch him on the podcast page, 107.5thegame.com. Thanks for listening to the all-new Early Game here on 107.5 The Game.